Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Hey, John Hollis with Rockers in Recovery. I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. Most importantly, if you're out there and you're listening, you are listening either on Rockers in Recovery at rockersinrecovery.com or on Blog Talk Radio or on, of course, over there at the Facebook page. Tonight's a great night. We have two great people on with us. One of them you know is from Self Esteem, and our friend is going to be, Tony is going to be with us talking about what's coming up with Sober in the Sun. We also have the Dope Man on A&E, and Tim Ryan, great guy, a.k.a. the Dope Man, has been putting out some new information on A&E on how you can help others with a great new show. We're going to talk to him about that, too. If you're in the area of rockersinrecovery.com, click on the About page, and you'll find out all kinds of information about us. We've been around since 2008. Doing broadcasts and media. We got our own magazine over there. We got, of course, our live stream button. You can check that out. And upcoming events. Our next event is September the 9th, 2017. It's going to be at Kirby Park between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. We got four great musical acts that are going to be there. And we also have a download there, so you can download it if you're in the tri-state area. We ask you to download the flyer and pass it out to your friends. If you don't have any friends, pass it out to some enemies. All we ask is that you get the message out there. It is free, and what we are looking to do is, of course, give helpful information to people in the community up there in Wilkes-Barre and in the surrounding areas, and we are working with three nonprofits in the area that will be getting direct donations at the event for people to get help. One of them is already accepting donations, and I think we're upwards of around 2,000. You can go to rockersinrecovery.com and find out information about that and directly donate to their nonprofit. So what we're going to do right now is bring on our friend Tim. Tim, welcome to the show, and what a great show you had the other night, your debut show. It was excellent. Thank you for being on Rockers in Recovery.
Hey, I'm glad to be on the show. Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming with what's happened after the show. I mean, it shows people a true day in the life of what I do, what I experience, and it's just not me. There's thousands of people out there trying to help the people lost in addiction, but the aftermath, I've had 4 to 5 people with me every day. We've returned over 800 phone calls, 1,000 emails. I can't tell you how many Facebook messages, but it's the same song. No insurance, can't get into treatment. So we're doing the best we can to guide and direct these people in. And we probably assisted, I don't know, 80 to 90 people get into treatment in the past 2 or 3 days.
Beautiful stuff, man. You know, what brought the whole thing about was the death of your son. But prior to that happening, which is a huge loss, our condolences to you, but prior to that, you went through prison, you had a little bit of time clean, and then you went out, correct? And you ended up in prison.
I was in and out of recovery my whole life. You know, my first time, I'm 48 years old now. My first time in treatment, I was 21, and back then it was cocaine and drinking, and I stayed clean about a year, and I'd go to 12-step meetings, but I'm the guy that thought I could get sober through osmosis. If I hang out with sober people, I'm going to get sober, and I hadn't had enough pain, so I would go in and out, and I was clean for about a year when I was 32, and I took a guy to Chicago to move out of his apartment. His roommate was doing heroin. I tried one bag, and that took me down a 12-year road to utter hell and destruction. I was in prison in 2008. They gave me a year. I did 61 days and released me, and that was for 4 driving on revokes and going to get heroin. Hell, I got pulled over by the same Chicago cop 8 months apart in 2 different cars, and that didn't stop me, and went right back, and I can remember at that time when I got out, my wife sat me down and she said she had got a full ride scholarship to nursing school. And at the time, Shannon was 40, 41. I said, you don't need to work. I make enough money. And she said, Tim, the way you're living, you're going to end up either in one of two places. You're going to end up back in prison, or you're going to end up dead. And we have four kids to take care of, and I can't rely on you. And she graduated 3 years top of her class. I didn't even go to her graduation because I was dope sick. But December 16th of 2010, I drove one more time. I overdosed while driving, hit two cars, put four people in the hospital, one being a nine-month-old baby. By the grace of God, they're okay. I knew I was going back to prison. I just didn't know for how long. Got the best lawyer, said, let's beat it. He said, no, it's just a matter of how much time I'm going to try to not have you serve. But in the midst of that, long story short, my son and I, who was 17 at the time, started using heroin together. That's how we bonded. October 30th of 2012, I was sentenced to 7 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. The way they ran the case, they give you three and one, so I had to do three, but it's seven on the books. In Illinois, you do half the time, so I'm going to do a year and a half. When I walked into prison October 30th of 2012, I weighed 158 pounds. I had a $500 a day heroin habit and was drinking upwards of a minimum of a fifth of vodka a day. And that's where I surrendered, was in that prison cell at Stateville Correctional Center, defecating, vomiting myself for 2 weeks straight. By the grace of God, I got into Sheridan Correctional Center, which is the only drug treatment program within the Illinois Department of Corrections prison system out of 28 prisons. And I plugged into recovery, and my cellmate and I, 18 hours a day in that cell, studied the big book, the NA basic text, the Bible, read hundreds of books. My wife divorced me in prison, lost our home in foreclosure, displaced our family. I displaced our family all due to my addiction. I always made a good living, but drugs were more important. I did 13 and a half months. I got out for the first time in my life, 13 and a half months clean and sober. My former wife and mom found me a little townhouse in downtown Naperville, Illinois, so I could walk to the Alano Club, I could walk to the train, and I could walk downtown. I have not had a driver's license in 16 years, but I do have a full-time driver today in a company car, so that's kind of a perk of recovery. you know, yeah, you're supposed to laugh at that. And I plugged into recovery, started a support group where I have families come with the people struggling with addiction. I set up a Man in Recovery Foundation. And on my 21-month sobriety date, my son Nicholas, who was 20, died from a heroin overdose. And I can remember Shannon calling me. We shot to the hospital. We ran in, Tim and Shannon Ryan here to see our son Nick. He overdosed, and 30 seconds later, the chaplain walked out. I knew the cards were up.
Wow.
And I will ask you, I knew my son was dead. What was my next thought, John?
You want to get high or you want to go to a meeting? It had to be either one. If you're in the right space,
I chose the latter. Yep, and my next thought was I'll be at the 6 o'clock meeting that night, and that's what I did. Most people thought I wanted to use, and that obsession and compulsion had been lifted. And a week prior, I was at one of my second or third overdose awareness walks, and I met Congressman Bill Foster there. And Nick died on Friday, August 1st. Actually, Tuesday was 3 years since my son passed away. So the following Thursday, I was doing a big Narcan training event. In the newspaper was doing a big article. Well, the reporter caught wind that my son died. So she called me at about noon, and she said, Tim, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm going to cancel the story. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, you're not going to go on with the training event. I said, I'm going to bury and have my son's funeral and service that Wednesday at the church, and Thursday night I'll be back there to run the Narcan training. I said, if my son's friends and him would add Narcan, he could possibly be alive. So the next day in the front page of the Sun Times, it said, you know, anti-heroin crusader loses his son to overdose. And unfortunately, in my son's passing, Nick really solidified and laid the road for what I do today. In the 3 years since Nick's passed, I've attended 110 funerals. I just lost two more friends that were in my support group last week. you know, I'm sick of burying people, but I want to be the guy that can help anyone. No insurance, state insurance, good insurance. I mean, my full-time job, I work for a phenomenal treatment center in Delray Beach. I've worked for a couple places. But, you know, like after the pilot ran or the special, whatever you want to call it on Monday night, everyone that's called has no resources. So I want to be able to find resources and give people that opportunity to get what I have, to grab this gift of recovery. But there's so much more outside of treatment. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. And it just started going. And I was approached by a producer who used to work for Oprah, and they were doing a documentary on why the gangs are selling drugs on the south and west side of Chicago and why the middle class white suburban kids are buying it. And as they're interviewing me, my phones are ringing. And she said, "What do you do?" I explained. And she said, "I think we could do something on you." So I signed with this company. We started some filming, and unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere. They went out of business. I bought my rights to everything. And a friend of mine, Tiff, who was a producer, said, "I've got a friend in California." We flew out to L.A. I had a meeting with Jason Hervey, who was a former childhood actor in the Wonder Years and stuff, and he's partnered with Eric Bischoff. I had a couple other meetings set. I met with Jason. I said, "I like you." I signed on the spot. A couple weeks later, we flew to Manhattan. I actually was at the State of the Union address. I was a guest there, and I took a train to Manhattan. We had one meeting with A&E. 2 days later, they called and said, "Sign a deal." All last year, we filmed a majority of that, and it's really powerful. Whether it goes to series or not, we don't know. I was just honored that A&E was behind this, and there's a lot of buzz about it. It's some of the messages I'm getting are overwhelming, with people saying, you know, people need to talk about this. I know what you're going through, my kid, and the phones are ringing, and people are asking for help, and that's what I try to do, is just get people to put your hand up and ask for help, and let's drop the stigma and all that other good stuff. How's that?
Great message, Tim. Great message, man. And I think what you're doing is absolutely shedding a light on things that people don't want to talk about. You know, people don't want to express, "Hey, listen, you know, my son, my daughter, my cousin, my brother is having an issue." And the addict themselves, you know, feel so much shame that they don't want to talk about it either. So you're shedding a light on something that's amazing.
And I'm trying to. I did a TED talk last year, a TEDx talk in Naperville, and my 18-minute talk was on the denial that there is a problem, but then also, you know, the people in recovery that don't want to come out. You know, we've got 23, 24, 25 million people in long-term recovery, but they want to hide in the rooms. And I'm all for, I attend a 12-step-based program, and it's not for me to break anyone else's anonymity, but we need more people coming out and saying, "Hey, I'm a rocker, and I'm sober, and I'm a doctor, and I'm a judge, and I'm a janitor, and I'm a school teacher, and I'm a plumber, and I'm Joe next door, and I'm sober." And start, I think things have got to change, because this opiate epidemic is just, you got two choices. You get sober or you're going to die. You might pass jail or prison in the interim, but those are your two choices. And it's just getting worse. It's getting much worse.
Tim, great, great message, like I said. And I think that people need to find out more. Where can they reach you, and how can they find your information online?
They can go to my website. It's www.amirfasinfrank.org, A Man in Recovery Foundation, or they can go to booktimryan.com. And it's all out there. I speak all over the country. I run community forums. I have a program I do called The Cop and the Convict, where we actually educate parents on cell phone monitoring software, computer monitoring software, how to drug test, why to drug test, but what plan of action to have in place. And then we'll sit there, and I'll stay there till 2 in the morning guiding and directing parents. And it's the same situation. No insurance, state insurance, good insurance, and here's your options, and here's the support groups, and here's what you need to do. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, here's the cool part. If you're in if you're in South Florida, November 10th and 11th, in the Pompano Beach area, Rockers in Recovery is putting on a festival at the 101 Club. It's a music festival. And a meet and greet the night before. So the meet and greet is on the 10th. The festival is on the 11th. Tim will be in town, and he will be speaking at both. We want to welcome Tim to both of our meet and greet and festival because, Tim, you know, this is the message that people need to hear.
Yeah, and I'm truly honored to come down and be invited to be a part of this. It's just carrying the message and letting people know there's hope out there. And, you know, the funny thing is everyone thinks I've got this glamorous life. And I was meeting with the treatment center in Chicago today that with the CEO who taught at Northwestern University, and they deal with a lot of high-end mental health clients. And the guy looked at me, he said, "How do you do it?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've never met anyone that truly deals with more carnage and death than you, and heartache." And I said, "Look, I've got a good therapist. I surround myself with a good group of people, and I keep recovery first, and I just follow God's lead." And he just said, "Amen," and gave me a big hug, and that's it. So that's all there is to it. There's no hidden agenda. It's just these phone calls I receive break my heart. I wish to God I had an unlimited bank account to where I could just help all these people. But I'm finding more resources, and I'm going to Colorado to look at a facility that's got 140 beds, and it's absolutely free, and they do manual labor and get free treatment. So, hey, you want to get sober, there's opportunities, and we'll find them for you.
Good stuff. You can check out Tim at Tim Ryan from Dope to Hope. That's on Facebook, at Tim Ryan from Dope to Hope. Check him out there. Check him out, of course, at his websites. And Tim, we'll have you back in the future as we get closer to the event, so that way we can talk about what you're going to be talking about, and we can go through step by step, you know, how people can, you know, help their loved ones or help themselves.
Absolutely. Truly an honor to be on. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't drink. Go to meetings. Have a blessed evening, okay?
You too, brother. Much love.
Thanks, Johnny. See you, bro.
All right, guys. Tim Ryan, dope man. Tonight we got a really special guest on, too. And Tony has been around Rockers in Recovery since almost the beginning. I think we did start in 2008, but we started the concert series and festivals in 2011. And Tony came down to the first festival in 2012, and hence we have done, he was at Maine Love of Recovery this past year ago, August actually, year ago this month. Prior to that, I think it was 2012, he was in Connecticut with us doing a show. We were doing a live show in Connecticut. So he's been around Rockers in Recovery, the music aspect of it for a long time. And great guys at Self-Esteem, and let's bring Tony on and talk to Tony tonight. Tony, good evening. Thanks for being on the show, brother.
Hey, John. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Hey, listen, you know, you've been around the whole music thing for a long time, music and recovery. And 2009, you're up for a nomination for a Prism Award. You've been beating the bushes with music and recovery and helping other people since the early 2000s. Tell us about it.
Well, I believe, didn't we hook up, I think, down at Key West, John, if I'm not mistaken? Was that was before.
I think the first interview, actually, you know something? I think the first interview I did with you was in 2008.
Yeah, down at
the festival.
Key West,
down
at KOA.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been kicking it for a long time.
Well, yeah, we've been around for quite a while. You know, I mean, like I didn't get a chance. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to hear the previous caller. I just just got in from Worcester. I had to go to a board meeting for Sober in the Sun. So I just made it home in time, and I says, uh-oh, I got to call John. So,
what's going on with Sober in the Sun? What's going on with Sober in the Sun?
Well, Sober in the Sun's on Labor Day weekend. It's a 4-day music festival. It's actually it's an everything festival. It's just for, you know, people in recovery and people that want to find a new way of life, and it's a drug-free and alcohol-free festival. And I believe we just added a day to it, so it's going to be a 4-day festival. We have music, we have workshops, we have canoeing, we have kids activities, we have teen dances, adult dances, camping. It's just an awesome event. I missed you last year. Was hoping you'd get up here this year to check it out, but you're welcome anytime. You know that, and if you go on to soberinthesun.org, you can get your tickets now before it's too late. And then I think there's a big discount if you go online, and then there's a certain cutoff date that you have to get them at the gate, and it's like $10 more or something. But it's just one of these things that I've been attached to for many years. There's that, and there's all kinds of these recovery events popping up, and you know, John, with you and your organization down south, you know, it's just starting to grow like wildfire. You know, these recovery events, it's like, well, you know, when we got clean and sober, we said, now what are we doing? And I found plenty to do, you know.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
hey, listen, there's so much out there to do and to tune into and to, you know, just, you know, focus on and go at it. I mean, listen, you know, there's a lot of hope in what we do. And you know, I remember the first show we ever did was, you know, February 2011, and I'll never forget it. We open all our stuff up to the public. You know, it's not a 12-step organization based event. So what we do is invite people from the recovery community. But we had somebody that was a doctor at a hospital that happened to be living next door, came over and found out what it was all about, and he happened to be the head psychiatrist at Imperial Point, Fort Lauderdale. And he came up to me and Lori after the show. This was our very first show, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, you know something, I want to thank you. He goes, because I, every day, I go to work and I patch up alcoholics and addicts and send them out onto the streets. He goes, you know, I never see this end of it. He goes, and you guys just made my whole weekend, and it makes me want to go back to work on Monday and help others. That was a huge thing. You know, 27 concerts later, festivals later, it gets into your soul that, hey, listen, you can really carry a lot of message through music and through just, you know, having a cool time and hanging out and hearing a message of hope and education, and it's just good stuff.
Absolutely, and that's where it all started for me. You know, when I got sober, I think me and my wife, Lori, you know, I was at this meeting, and, you know, I didn't want nobody to know my stuff, you know, because they'd think I was crazy, you know. So I kept my mouth shut, you know, and finally I ran across somebody speaking at one of these 12-step meetings, and the guy was sicker than me, and I latched onto him, you know. He was a musician, and I was a musician, but I'd never had any instruments to play because I always sold them for drugs, you know. So when I got clean, I heard this guy speak. He says, why don't you hang out with me and we'll play a little bit of music. And, you know, so I did. And, you know, I took up skydiving. Me and my wife went down every weekend and went down in here in Ellington, Connecticut, and spent the whole summer jumping out of airplanes. And And that was quite the crazy thing to do. You know, at the point in time that I took that up, I was newly sober and really didn't care too much if my chute opened or not. So I just did it. And then it became really fun, and I ended up getting my license, and that was when I started realizing how fun recovery can be. You know, I started going to this open mic at the Windsor Recovery Club in Connecticut, and I played there for the first time, John, and I was so nervous playing in front of a crowd. I had my harmonica thing on, and I ended up singing into the harmonica and blowing into the microphone, and I got my mustache stuck on the mic. And it was in front of about 100 people. But that was the beginning of everything, and that's where I ended up coming up with the self-esteem, me and my partner, Dale Keitlinger, and we just started as an acoustical duo in recovery, and we started going around playing cover tunes at little coffee houses, and I got a little tired of that, and so I started writing, and that's when it kind of took off, and I started finding other players in recovery, you know, so I wrote a bunch of music and sent it out to L.A. to the Prism Awards. And in 2002, we got nominated for a Prism Award. So we flew out there and we ended up just getting a merit certificate of merit that year. And then in 2009, we had that Lost in Recovery CD that I wrote. And we sent that in, and of course us and Richie Supa, it was the first time they had a tie at the Prism Awards, you know, for the music category.
Wow.
And so we both walked away with the Prism Award. It was really cool, you know.
Oh, that's very cool, man. Very cool.
Yeah, you know, it was just an awesome thing, you know, little old me from Connecticut going out there and it was an achievement, something that I never thought I'd be able to do, and we're still at it, you know. We're still at it. We don't play as much. I got the grandkids, and I'm having a blast with that. But we're still at it. We'll be at Sober in the Sun.
We're loving it, man. We're gonna try to come up a little bit early because we're doing the event in Wilkes-Barre on the 9th. So
you guys
are the weekend before. Oh, I love it. Who's playing there, by the way? You got any? Who's some of the people that are playing there?
Well, let me tell you. I have Johnny Pressmas. These are all local bands. Tattoo Cowboy, Johnny Pressmas, The Loomers. We got Rattling Windows, Glenwood Mills Band, Jeffrey Allen Shaw Band. Bonnie Lee Panis, she's coming out from Nashville. She's a good friend of mine. And Montgomery Delaney from New York. He's a singer-songwriter. He's 7 foot tall. He's huge. He's an ex-New York City cop and an ex-Marine. And now he's an attorney and a singer-songwriter, and he's the funniest guy in the world. But it's all recovery. These are all recovery people, recovery bands, and it's just going to be an awesome time, you know.
Give the information again, so that way people know.
What's that?
Give the information again so people know where it's at and go to the website.
If you go to www.soberinthesun.org, you can check it out, check out video, check out the pictures. There's a mission statement on there. There's tickets for sale. You can contact me. My email is right on the front page. And any information you need, you just email me and we'll send it to you. But there's plenty of motels in the area, and it's a 400-acre Boy Scout camp. And you can camp anywhere on the 400 acres for 4 days. And We have a main stage all weekend, and we have coffee house entertainment. Like I said, teen dance, adult dances, children's activities, and it's just going to be a blast. We look forward to it every year. And, you know, last year, I had the liver transplant last February 1st. And, mm-hmm. you know, I thought it was going to be my last time doing it, you know, just because it was a tough thing to get through. And you know what, we're on a rebound, and we're good as gold, man. We're good as new, and we're headed out there. I'll be going there a week early and setting up the RV and setting up the stage and getting everything ready. And I'm really looking forward to it this year. You know, if I had the time, I would be going out to Pennsylvania to see y'all out there, because that's a nice little ride for me. You know, it's not too far, but I'll still probably be at Silver in the Sun cleaning up.
You know? Yeah, that's how that works, man. When they end, you know, everybody goes home, and then you're there for 3 days.
Yeah, well, some of the guys are there for more than 3 days. They're there for a couple of weeks, you know, and God bless them. They do it every year after year, you know. But I don't know, John. I really couldn't think of a better way to spend my time now. You know, I was down in Florida not long ago, 7 months ago, in West Palm Beach looking for my daughter. You know, you knew about that. And she was not doing good at all. And you know, today she's 7 months clean, and
wow.
She's doing great. She called me today. She just got out of treatment, last week, and she called me today. She has a job. She looks great. She's doing good. So God is good. I mean, you know, there's something that I thought 7 months ago. I thought we were going to lose her to the opiates. You know. And it just goes to show that never give up. You know, it's hard because people say tough love. If I would have stuck with I can tell you this, if I would have stuck with the tough love thing and just let her hit her bottom, she would have died, John. You know, and I had to say that. You know, a lot of people say you have to let them hit their bottom, but I don't know. You know, for me, I had to intervene because nobody else was. And when an addict is that down and that low and on the street, and they don't have a choice, you know, they need to get high every day, and they have to do what they got to do. So, you know, with the fentanyl going around, John, and all that stuff, you know, it was time to intervene. But you know what? It's a great thing. You know, we didn't give up on her. Nobody gave up on me, so, and I'm here today.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so.
You know something, and you're absolutely right. You know, guys like us, we made it through hell and back, and, you know, there were people that should have given up on me, right, in my mind, but they didn't, and they showed me the kind of person I want to be today, and that's not to give up on anybody. If there's breath, there's hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's just a scary thing out there. You know, out here in New England, you know, people are dropping like flies all over the country, I'm sure. I'm sure it's not just New England, you know. And, you know, putting a face on recovery is a good thing. And I'm glad that you're doing this. You know, I'll always be there to, you know, share my story and share my message for anybody that needs it. You know,
well, I appreciate all you do, you know, everything that you do in the community. Like I said at the very beginning, you know, you were one of the, you know, founders of going out there and putting music to recovery and making it special and letting people see you through your music and using your music to be able to give hope and to share love, you know. It was a great thing, you know, and it still is.
But
what you do is amazing.
It's people like you that gave us a chance, you know. I remember my first festival. It was Half Moon Sober Festival, and And it was just me and Dale, and we were an acoustic duo. And they called me up and says, we want you to come play at our festival. We were so excited that we rented a bus, you know, one of those 40-foot long buses. And we had some CDs made and T-shirts. And we went pulling into this festival with, like some kind of Rolling Stones or something. And so we got there, and there's this big stage, and we went walking up to the guy and says, the music director, and says, so when are we going to be playing? And he goes, well, you're not going to be playing on this stage. You're going to be playing up in that building up there. And there was a little like cabin way up on a hill, like a small, almost like an outhouse. And it was their coffee house. So I said, well, that's fine. You know, we'll start this year. We'll do this. And then maybe next year they'll put us on the main stage. So I says to the music director, what time are we playing? And he says, well, 2 a.m. And I went, So we went all the way up to New Hampshire, and we played at 2 a.m. for 4 people. One of those people in the coffee house listening to us happened to be sober, a music director that couldn't sleep, that from Sober in the Sun. And he heard us and laughed at us, and seeing that we were new to recovery and seeing that we were fun and made mistakes. And so he booked us for Sober in the Sun. And that was, 20 years? That was 20 years ago almost, I think. You know, and
wow.
And we're still there. We're still there playing, you know, and it's part of my recovery. I can't stay sober on music, but it certainly helps to have these events to go to, because next year I want to go to it. And if I use, I can't go to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's certainly a deterrent to stay clean, to have events like this. You know, we have a blast. I mean, we absolutely have a blast. We've met people, you know, all over the world from these events. My network is huge, and I love it. I don't have any
people. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't have any friends that use anymore, and that's kind of weird. It just happened, you know. And you know what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, man. I love it. I want to thank you for being on, and we want to bring you back in the future. And, you know, if you guys are going to be doing some music, I'm going to be playing a couple of tunes after this from the band, from Self-Esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Selfish Esteem is what it is.
Well, if you get up here, John, if you get up here a week early, let me know, and come on up to the festival for a day at least. You know, you and Lori, come on up.
Yeah, actually, you know something, we can build that in, I think, because we were planning on coming up like on I think the 5th or the 6th, which could actually work out to, you know, I could, you know, go up there first and just come back down. That wouldn't be a bad little trip. So, all right, cool. This is
all right,
good
my
stuff.
Friend.
Tony, thank you for being on the show with us.
Talking to you, and appreciate what you do, buddy, and we'll see you in 3 weeks if you come up.
You bet, man. We're looking forward to it.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you. Say hi to Lori.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Here you go. We have a great show tonight. Our friend Tony from Self-Esteem. And then, of course, Tim Ryan, Dope Man. You can check out Tim Ryan on A&E. Just go and you can actually search it. Put in Dope Man in your search engine, and it'll come up, and you can actually watch it on A&E Network, and just put it into your browser on your TV, and it'll come up. And so you can check out more Rockers in Recovery by going to rockersinrecovery.com and clicking on the About tab, and there is a list of different places you can go right from there. You can go to our podcast. You can go to our live stream. You can go to the magazines. You can go to our different social network sites. Check it all out right there at About. And I'm John Hollis. This is Rockers in Recovery. We want to thank everybody for being a part of the show tonight. And if you're out there and you're sick and you're suffering, you don't have to anymore. There is help. And you can check that out by going to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration in Washington, D.C. It's called SAMHSA. Check that out. And we want to thank the sponsor of tonight's show, which is Clearbrook Treatment Centers. And Clearbrook Treatment Centers has been around a long, long time. They're part of course, the Wilkes-Barre crew, and great people. And we ask you to, you know, check them out at clearbrookinc.com. And you can also, if you need help, you can give them a call at 888-414-4209. Again, thanks for tuning in. Love to all.
Walking on water, the feeling I get, the odds keep on getting smaller every time I take it. Dealer's got his cards on the table, play with me and you'll pay the price, and I'm not ready, willing or able. Take a chance and I roll the dice, just like candy in a store, and I keep going back for more. Up all night to see the sunshine, walking out without a dime. At first you're up, then you're down, the stakes are high, you just lost. Waking up to the sound, the dealer tells you what it just cost. All I want is a little freedom, all I need is a little break. Give me one more chance to break even, and how much more can I take? Just like candy in a store, and I keep going back for more. Up all night to see the sunshine, walking out without a dime.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.